Mound for mound, those are heavy hills. Do you see the Mississippi down there? Now look up, down, around, around the river and way up to the east, to the mountains, and even beyond. We're going to check out mound-building Indians, and this is the region where they live. You will be awed. These first Americans have fine cities, well-organized governments, beautiful art objects, and successful businesses. It is their mounds, however, that you may never forget. Mounds? Yes. Imagine thousands and thousands of Indians carrying baskets of dirt and dumping them to make hills. Skillfully shaped dirt mounds were all over the place when Europeans and Africans arrived in America. Hundreds of thousands of dirt mounds. One of our presidents, Thomas Jefferson, dug into a mound. He dug carefully because he had a scientific mind and he wanted to learn about Indians. But most mounds were just pushed down by farmers or builders. What were the mounds for? Some mounds were graves. These Indians made a big ceremony of death, just as the ancient Egyptians did. The pyramids in Egypt are burial mounds, but some Indian mounds were used as platforms for temples and leaders' palaces, and some may have been religious symbols. If we fly into the present time, right now near Cincinnati, Ohio, we can see a huge curving snake. It is an earth mound that coils for a quarter of a mile. Amazing, isn't it? It may be more than 2,000 years old. What is the purpose of this snake, or of a mound shaped like a turtle, or of some of the other animal mounds? No one today is quite sure. Perhaps someone in your generation will figure out. Before going to the next page, I will read the insert on the right, and then up on the top where there's a picture. On the insert, great snakes. The Serpent Mound in Ohio was one of the United States' first ever conservation projects. It was discovered in the 19th century, just before the Civil War. Do you know when that was? A tornado mowed down the forest that had kept the mounds hidden. Farmers wanted to plow it up. Some society ladies in Boston wrote about the danger the snake was in, and people sent money to help save the mound as a national monument. Okay, now to the top photo. This gorget was carved from a shell, maybe for a priest. Can you see the raccoon tails? Second page. First, the insert. The great snake of the Serpent Mound is over 1,300 feet long. Its mouth is open, and it is swallowing something. An egg, perhaps? The snake was built by people of the Adena culture. And down below, the second insert. The mound builders, snakes and bears, are not the only thing of their kind. Other people have drawn or dug enormous pictures or monuments on the earth. Such designs can be seen fully only from up in an airplane. Why do you think people would make designs that they could never themselves see properly? Now to the text. We know quite a bit about some mound builders because of a 19th century farmer named M.C. Hopewell. Hopewell found 30 mounds on his farm in Ohio. He had archaeologists dig carefully into them. Archaeologists are scientists who are trained diggers. From pieces of pots and bones and throwaway things, they can tell a lot about the past. Historians would be lost without archaeologists. The archaeologists on the Hopewell farm found more than just old pots and bones. They found copper, pearls, shells, mica, soapstone, and obsidian. They found teeth from sharks and teeth from grizzly bear. Most of these things had come from far away, the shells from the Atlantic coast, the obsidian from the far west, the copper from mines near Lake Superior. So we know that the mound builders were great traders. We think they used a kind of relay system to get goods to and from distant places. Their sophisticated culture was flourishing at the time when Jesus lived. Do you know when that was? Here's how an archaeologist who dug at Hopewell described a grave he uncovered. At the head, neck, hips, and knees of the female, and completely encircling the skeleton, were thousands of pearl beads and buttons of wood and stone covered with copper, extending the full length of the grave. Along one side was a row of copper ear ornaments. At the wrists of the female were copper bracelets. She wore a necklace of grizzly bear canines and a copper breastplate on the chest. Now the insert. Sophisticated means complex or worldwise. Canines are teeth that are good for tearing food, especially meat. Can you find out which of your teeth are the canines? Canine has another meaning. Dogs belong to the animal family Canidae, from canis, the Latin word for dog. So canine means dog-like or belonging to dogs. Next page. Who was she, that Indian female? She must have been special to have that robe with its thousands of pearls and its bright copper buttons. She was buried with a man who was also covered with finery. Were they a royal couple? That is one of history's mysteries. Now let's fly in our capsule through 1,000 years of time to the year 1000, until we reach the Indian city of Cahokia. We are near three great rivers, the Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Illinois. This is a marvelous spot for training people to place a city. Someday a city named St. Louis will sit across the Mississippi from here. Do you see the mounds? That's a foolish question. You can't miss them. One Cahokian mound is as tall as a 10-story building. Its base is broader than that of the pyramids in Egypt. The mounds look like flat-topped pyramids with temples and public buildings and statues on their summits. All those people in the streets are going to market and schools and businesses. Cahokia covers 6 square miles. About 25,000 people live here. Another 25,000 people live in nearby villages. Cahokia isn't a democracy. It is a slave society with a powerful ruler who is called the Great Sun. He is thought to be the earthly brother of the heavenly sun. Slaves are called stinkards. They are captured in battles with rival tribes. Stinkards do work no one wants to do, like perhaps hauling dirt to build mounds. Noble women have to marry stinkards. Why? We don't know, but maybe it's a way to bring outsiders into the tribe. If people keep to themselves and don't marry outsiders, their children may be born less healthy. The science of genetics explains that. Maybe it is a way to keep one group from holding too much power. Maybe the stinkards are attractive. People from other places often seem more interesting than those you know well. Children of noble stinkard marriages don't get stuck in the dirt. They go into an upper class. Cahokia was big and thriving, and then something happened. It disappeared as a great city. Why? Some experts think it may have grown too large. They say the inhabitants may have destroyed the nearby forest to get firewood, and without wood, their city couldn't survive. Maybe the sanitary system wasn't good and people got sick. Perhaps enemies attacked. Perhaps the people got tired of the slave society. No one knows for sure. Now the insert. This little stone man is actually a pipe over 2,000 years old. He and objects like him help us know how the Adena mound builders dressed and adorned themselves. Next page. Digging up dirt on the mound builders. Historians like to divide the past to understand it better. You know, Stone Age, Iron Age, and so on. It helps to take long periods of time and make them orderly. That is why the mound-building culture, which flourished for more than 2,000 years, got divided into three periods. The oldest mound builders, who lived about 2,500 years ago, are called the Udenas. They are named Udenas for the region in Ohio where some of the mounds were found. They built cone-shaped mountains for the dead and animal-shaped mounds that may have had religious importance. They were hunters and gatherers who lived on a land rich in fish, game, nuts, and berries. They grew some crops. New people arrived on their land. Were there wars, or was there peaceful acceptance of these new arrivals? We don't know, but life seems to have become more interesting. The Hopewell era, about 2,000 years ago, was a splendid time for mound builders. The Hopewell Indians, of course they didn't call themselves that, lived in villages along thickly populated river regions. They traded with each other and with people across the continent. They were creative folk who left beautiful artifacts in their mounds. Artifacts are people-made objects, stone carvings, jewelry, ceremonial pipes, hammered coppers, earrings, tools, and bowls, like the Adenas. The Hopewells grew some crops. Their skeletons tell us they were very healthy and had few cavities in their teeth. About 1,000 years ago, the culture changed. Corn was brought from Mexico, and the mound builders became serious farmers. With planned agriculture, cities could grow larger. That brought highly organized governments. The rulers acted like gods. The mounds became complex engineering feats that took planned group effort. Temples and leader homes sat on top of the mounds. Chase mound builders are called Mississippians. Cahokia was their great center. The Mississippian diet centered on corn. Creativity declined. The Mississippians were less healthy than the Hopewell Indians had been. They were less free. Mississippian skeletons show tuberculosis and other diseases. Their teeth have cavities. Was it because city life was stressful? Was it the limited diet, or the dictatorial government? In the 1500s, when newcomers came from lands beyond the seas, the mound-building culture was well past its peak. Diseases had finished it off. Now to the box. Iowa's marching bear from the second large group of effigy mounds in the United States. If you would like to see mounds, here are places to go. In Ohio, Serpent Mound is 4 miles northwest of Locust Grove on Route 73. Mound City Group National Monument is 3 miles north of Chillicothe on Route 104. In Indiana, Angel Mound State Historical Site is in Evansville. In Wisconsin, visit Azatlan State Park between Milwaukee and Madison on Route 94. In Iowa, Effigy Mounds National Monument is north of Dubuque on Route 76. And in Illinois, Cahokia Mound is 1 mile from Collinsville off Route 55. Dickinson Mounds is between Lewiston and Havana off Route 78 and 97. After reading the article, be sure to answer the questions on page 26. The questions read. Directions. Read the excerpt titled Mound for Bound, Those Are Heavy Hills, and answer the following questions. Be sure to read the captions as well. Number 1. What do archaeologists believe are some of the purposes of the mounds? Explain. If you would like to pause the recording, please do so to answer the question. Return to the recording when you are finished. Number 2. What have archaeologists found in the mounds? Pause. Number 3. Describe the mounds of Cahokia. What is around the mound? Pause. Number 4. Speculate, or guess, about why you think Cahokian civilization died out. Pause. Number 5. Describe the mounds built by the Adenas. Pause. Number 6. What role did geography, or everything on Earth, from rocks and rainfall to people and places, play in shaping the mound builder's culture? Please provide at least 4 distinct answers and explain each.